Man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shit.
At arms, can you please come
on the
in?
Point of order.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast with me, Amil Amra. So today we have sidetracked from bringing you your weekly dose of political shenanigans to talk about the rape and murder of Uyinene Mukhwetyana, a 19-year-old University of Cape Town student who was raped and murdered when she went to a post office in Claremont. No, this is not going to be one of our usual jovial podcasts where we crack jokes about absurd political news and give you some inside analysis. No. In this episode, we're taking a very hard look at society, like our society, where a young woman going about an average day in her life was raped and murdered. She's not the first and she's not going to be the last. I'm in studio this week by my with my colleagues on the politics desk here at the Sunday Times, Kwanita Hunter, Zimasa Matewane, and Apiwe de Klerk. Guys, let's get straight into this. I'm going to start here with a bit of facts just to put in context the situation the country finds itself in, all right? So last year, in the 2017-2018 financial year, according to the police statistics, there were 40,035 rapes reported in the country. You know, that's an average of 110 rapes recorded by police each day. 110. In the same year, a total of 2,930 women were murdered in South Africa. This means that the femicide rate, looking at it statistically, is about 15 murders per 100,000 women. That's crazy stats, guys. And you've got to start to ask yourself, what is going on? Because this is not a new phenomenon for South Africa. These stats didn't just come out of nowhere this year. It's something that's been going on for decades and decades. But nothing seems to be happening. Nothing seems to be changing. Is it going to take another rape and murder of another young woman or anybody else until we start talking about this properly and trying to do something about it? Yo, guys, where do we even go?
Thing is, it's like there's a pattern in South Africa. When when this happened to her, there was that similar kind of first, you know, panic, then outrage, then grief, and then silence.
Yeah.
And then it happens to the next person, and the next person, and the next person. And the reality of it is, in this case, with Inene and Leandre Jengels in East London, and, you know, the dozens of other nameless women who the same thing has happened over the same weekend.
Hundreds and thousands of them, actually.
It's I think as a society, finally we're realizing that we're far too broken. It's the society is far too broken. In 2019, with those statistics that you're saying, I mean, people are still victim blaming, people are still victim shaming, people are still putting, our own government is putting the onus on a woman to protect herself when she is not killing herself. We are not killing ourselves. And I feel like this pattern of outrage, of grief, of anger, of silence keeps rearing its head every now and again, and it just gets worse and worse and worse.
If I think back just personally, when I was a crime reporter in KZN, and I think, just as a rough estimate, in the 2 years that I was in Pietermaritzburg, a little town outside Durban, I must have covered at least 60 or 70 very, very gruesome rapes and murders of women and young children and toddlers even. You know, just in those 2 years alone, stories which did not make the front pages across the country.
Because it can't.
It can't.
It's
there's
too
just,
much.
There's just too many of them. Stories that we would talk about in the newsroom, and unfortunately, just as the news agenda moves, a week or two later, you forget it even happened. And that seems to be, that's just just a sort of indication as to, yes, we talk about these cases when they do arise. Some of them become prominent, but there's a thousands and thousands of them which just go by every day that nobody takes notice of. And the thing is, even with cases like this, the sad part is that in 2 weeks, is this even going to be what we're talking about still? And we move on and we forget. And then when it happens again, we ask ourselves why. So how do we start to rationalize all of this?
I think we're so desensitized because it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a way of life, at least for us women of South Africa. It's something that can happen literally when you're at work, when you're at home, when you walk on the street. We are built in a way that you are always expecting a man to violate you. Mm. It's normal. It doesn't shock us anymore. It's painful. We are scared, but it doesn't shock us anymore. But also, you said this thing of violence against women in South Africa. It's part of how we are raised. Mm. It's part of how we grew up. I think violent masculinities are created by our society in what we deem as normal. Yesterday on Twitter, we were talking about this and we were discussing how when your breasts start growing and, you know, you start getting your period and stuff, when you reach puberty, you can't even go to the tuck shop to buy bread because of the things that men say to you, because of the groping that happens and because of the suggestive stares, you know. And it's people our age, whether you are 12, it's men the age of our parents. Mm. So the men are broken. They're going to need to fix themselves because when we speak out, we try to find solutions. We want to discuss what the root causes are. We are called angry feminists. Mm. South African men are very intelligent. They don't need women to tell them what to do. So I think it's time that they just fixed it themselves.
And that's why I feel like I don't have the emotional capacity to go and march.
You can't march anymore. We've done that.
Why are we still marching in 2019? It's not us that should be marching.
I mean, the problem, and no one should ever say that the problem lies with the woman in our society. It's the complete opposite. But Apiwe, let's go into a more political stance here, just very quickly, just branch off here. When the government responded to this case specifically, all right, they issued a little Twitter caption saying, you know, we condemn these acts of violence. We're mourning those losses. Is it enough to say something like that? As government, who should have some sort of grasp of what's happening in society.
Look, I've always held the view that our government, when it comes to such, they don't know what to do. Mm. We are not being led either by the department that was created in response to these acts of violence against women and children. It seems as if they're clueless. They are insensitive to what women have to deal with on a daily, to such an extent that you saw that tweet. Mm. You know, it's...
We call on women to, what, protect themselves or to, what, be aware. What did it say, Kwanita?
It was a long
violence and abuse against women have no place in our society. Government is calling on women to speak out and not allow themselves to become victims by keeping quiet. Women who speak out are able to act, effect, change and help others. Again, it's our problem. So, on social media, we've changed it and said, violence and abuse by men have no place in society. Government is calling on men to speak out and not allow themselves to create victims. Men who speak out are able to act, effect, change, and help others. You know, the thing is that when you have a situation in your family or in friends where there's an abusive scenario, none of the men are held accountable to say, hey, speak to the guy or do something. Men have no responsibility whatsoever. But because another member of our gender as females is in an abusive situation, oh, you must speak to her, or you must be there for her. That's what we need to be.
You must pull her out of the abusive relationship.
We must pull her out of the abusive relationship. We must now go and buy panties for victims of rape, because police officers are treating women who are raped with so much of indignity. That's what we must do. We must go stand and wear black adverts and scream and cry. And we must strip naked in front of the whole president.
By police.
Yes. Strip naked in front of a whole president to prove your point. And 1 year later, he's still talking about the resolutions of a summit. A resolutions of a summit where crime did not stop at that summit. Attacks on us did not stop at that summit.
I feel like nobody knows what to do. I don't know. Do you guys think government has a plan, or are we all just... Here is what women have been preaching about violence, especially sexual assault. It's men who do it. It's not a monster that comes in with horns in the dead of night and attacks you in your bed. It's not a evil spirit. No, it's not the devil. It's men. It's the men that we work with. It's the ones that we. It's our fathers. It's our uncles. It's literally everyone. And it's normal men.
Who have functioning jobs and live normal lives.
Yeah. So, and it's not bless us. I'm not trying to justify the lifestyle of blessers and girls and whatever. But another thing that I noticed on social media when this girl was reported missing, and she's a young, beautiful girl, and she's in varsity, and there's always this perception that when men look at you and like you, then it means that if you disappeared, you left with one of your blessers. And a lot of our black brothers, what hurt me the most is that a lot of them, they were insinuating that it's either she has been taken by a foreigner, they were singling out Nigerians in particular, or that because these girls love money, it's one of her blessers. It turns out the little girl just went to the post office and she was attacked by a man who looks like you, Amil, who looks like you, Declerk, who looks like you, Mvumvu, who lives a normal lifestyle in the eyes of society. So all those ideas of what society would like us women to believe leads to sexual violence, they are all nonsense. They are all rubbish. What we're saying is that you men need to come with the solutions, because you are the problem. We are tired. There is nothing we haven't done. There is nothing we can do anymore.
I agree with that completely.
I need to bring something to you guys' attention that it always bothers me when it comes to rape. Men don't know what rape is, Kwanita. In this morning, on an Uber to work, the Uber driver is an old man. He's really hurt that this thing happened to this young lady. And he's saying this man had money. He could have, you know, bought a prostitute. He could have a girlfriend. For God's sake, the man was married. Rape is not about sex. When are you guys going to get that? Do men know what rape is?
Yes,
do they understand that when you buy girls drinks at Cubana, you are not supposed to expect sex if it's not part of the deal? If you can't convince me to sleep with you when I'm sober, you can't convince me when I'm drunk. I cannot consent anymore. You cannot say, okay, I'm going to drop you off on the freeway. I'm not going to take you home because you don't want to go home with me. That is coercion. It's not consent. Do men know that?
Yeah, we do.
Then why are your friends and other people still doing this?
Exactly. But you see, I have a problem. I was listening to most of the points that you've made. Okay, the point I was trying to make, for instance, how as South Africans we are so pathetic in coming to solutions. We come with solutions that are not fitting to the problem. Let me go to the point that I was making. Take a girl child to work. Take a girl child to school. Empower the girl child. What about the boy child? For instance, wait. I'll give you an opportunity. You by doing that, for instance, for starters, I'm saying you mean to say that these young girls that must be empowered, taken to school, taken to work, will exist in silos, not coexist with the young boys that are being ignored, that have got to be men tomorrow, that coexist with... I'm saying the thing of assuming that only the girl child is disadvantaged, it's misguided, because that is not the case. The boy child too.
It is. It's a society.
Okay, wait. Guys, I'll give you an opportunity to take notes of my points so that you can come back nicely. Number two, this problem is not only, as you say, I'm dismissing you guys again when you say man created this problem. It's not a man problem, this thing. This thing is an economic problem. This thing is a policing problem. This thing is a general societal problem. What do I mean by economic problem? I know you'll say, yeah, even rich men beat up their women. It's fine. That's the repertoire that you're going to come in. But what I mean to say, in terms of the economic imbalances that, by the way, are mostly experienced by black people in this country, not only women, but even men. And then we have a society that operates on the basis that a man is supposed to provide, you know, a man is supposed to be this, a man is supposed to be this. Let me make an example, for instance. There would be, old men who are cleaners here at work. In terms of our societal cultures, which I'm not saying are right, but they are there, unfortunately, such a guy, when he goes back home, that's not what he does, but he's here cleaning for Wapiwe de Klerk, cleaning for Uzimasa. Don't you think that takes away from the esteem of the person? I'm not making an excuse. Wait, you'll come, take notes. I'm just trying to say, I'm comparing the problems with the societal cultures that we have to say that these things are not in isolation. So you cannot just address, say, men, stop beating up women without addressing the root causes. You know, which most of them are economic and
I will finish, take notes.
I just want one point.
You see, there's no, it's not like this thing, it happens like an act of nature, like you have to go to the bathroom and take a piss, or you know.
What does that got to do with what I said? When you say
you can't just say men must stop beating people, you can.
No, but I mean,
the thing is you are not taking into consideration
the root causes. You see, in South Africa we have a problem of addressing symptoms. This thing is not just a symptom that exists out of the blue. It's got root causes that drive it. What are those root causes? And that is the discussion that we are not having. That is what I'm trying to get at, and you guys are not getting it. And I can tell you, as long as we are the way we are, this problem is only going to get worse by the day. On top of it, we don't have a government. All they do is condemn with the contempt deserved.
It's only right apologists who make the argument that economics are a...
Are they not?
For
No. Are they not part? We're not entire.
Why are women not killing men?
Who said they are not? Another problem that I'm talking about. We talk about these things in isolation. Flabba was killed by his girlfriend.
I'm making an example about one high profile case.
Just like this debate is raised by one high profile case again.
No.
These issues, we address them because we in a Twitter drove it, mainstream media followed on that line that was driven by Twitter. When these things happen every day, these things that we saw in the past days, they happen every day.
Do you know that there is a new face of a young girl or a young child that we are retweeting every day on Twitter?
That's what I'm saying.
Who is missing? A new face.
Yes.
It's this is not an Uinene issue.
Yeah.
Ukwaneta was talking about Anin poison. It's a societal issue that has been there.
But our solutions to it and our talking about it and highlighting it to a national level debate is only when there are certain cases that have sort of gained social media and mainstream media. The last time we had this kind of conversation and fury in the country was during that other late. When was it? Last year. The other popular one on Twitter. But after that, do you think that thing stops? Will it stop next week when we stop talking about this thing, when we're discussing other issues that would be topical at the time?
If when we say that we would like men to take charge and correct the situation, then men think the way you think. We're not going
to. No, we don't want men. We need the whole society to take charge and start with deep analysis, root causes. We solve out the root causes. Let's say, for argument's sake,
we are approaching this like a whole society problem. Like here in this room now, there's a 4 months old child or 4 year old child, for instance, is being raped by the stepfather.
Yes.
what root cause of the problem must we start with, and how do we?
The father
get
is
into
unemployed
it?
And is sad. That's why it's like. No.
That's not how it goes.
But look, I'm trying to get to the point where we were arguing to come with a whole society.
When you say it's a whole society problem, you are saying that you are condoning this thing that men are broken and they need to fix their brokenness by breaking women.
No, I'm not saying that. You're misinterpreting me.
Because what societal problem? Because women are not part of the society. Because we are being affected by it. Society is made of men and women.
Yeah.
Right?
So
why are you saying it's a societal problem? Because there's women in society and women are not doing this to
they
anyone.
They are part of the problem.
We call ourselves to be
when
rape.
I say
when
a society,
I walk on the street.
I didn't say that. But
how?
As a society, you comrades.
How?
Okay, let me ask a question. So you comrades think that this behavior is just people who wake up all of them. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to cover up here, but I'm saying you guys, are you trying to say that these people just fall from the sky? That fellow, that 42-year-old fellow.
They don't fall from the sky. They are created
by the society.
They are created by people who enable and explain away their actions.
So ideally, moving forward, just to share some ideas around the table, if you had to, how do you start to solve the problem? I know it's a massive problem and, it's going to take more than one solution and over a long period of time. But just to share some ideas around the table, Apiwe, let's start with you. If you could just think of something, one thing that you would want to see being done to sort of end this problem.
You see, I have a solution for violence against women by men, is that we need to stop from a young age thinking that violence or corporal punishment is the way to raise our society, to raise our kids. And that thing has been ingrained in us. You will find even today political organizations arguing for this. I was making this point, having a chat with Zimasa about people who are calling for the death penalty as a way to solve these gruesome crimes against women. I'm saying those same formations are the ones that are calling for corporal punishment, but at school and at home, they've got problems when you say you must ban spanking, that children need to grow up knowing that human beings converse, they agree, they disagree, they convince each other, and if there's no solution to that, it ends there. Now, you raise a child who gets to think that when they can't convince someone, they must exert themselves physically using violence. When they get to be that adult which you had long been preparing them to be, you say you must kill them off. That can be the kind of society that we are creating. So I'm saying let's go out and conscientize our society that violence is not the answer. Let's raise children, young men, who will understand that the way to solve problems is not violence. As for rape, people need to stop raping. There's no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. I can't say we must need to do a scientific study on why people rape. They just need to stop raping. And in most cases, this we're not talking about cases where you can say the other mistakenly thought there was consent. Like on this particular one, it's blatant, this thing, it's clear.
So Gisa, do you think that if we imposed higher, if we police, and if we police this better, if we imposed higher penalties, a longer jail time, harsher penalties, do you think it would solve the problem, or do you think more needs to be done above that?
Of course, more needs to be done. Maybe just to emphasize my point in that regard, to agree with Apiwe that these are societal problems. He states a case of how we are raised by the society as men, which I have raised this point before to say that's how it is. I actually used myself as a personal you know, example, although I've never behaved in that way. But when I grew up, I was actually encouraged to beat up my sister when she disrespects me. And that was not only encouraged by my father. It was encouraged by my grandmother. It was encouraged by my mother. When I bring the point to say that this is a societal problem, in line with what Apio was saying, to say that those societal, cultural behaviors that have been built over years, so such that they've become ingrained, but we take them lightly in how they come to, you know, affect people later on. If I was raised like that, that's how I'm going to, you know, grow up believing that the only way to put women in their place is to clap them or, you know, beat them up. Those things need to go away. But also, you know, to come back to your question, stricter sentences, life sentences, as others have called for them, they've never resolved certain issues. In fact, the life sentence thing is just a non-starter as far as our constitution is concerned. You know, part of our rights to life, it's in complete contradiction with that, because that right to life is not reserved for some, it's for everyone. So you can't just kill people on the basis of this thing. And killing people doesn't stop these things from happening. And the harsher sentences, again, alone, they don't. Of course, we need a much more, you know, effective police system in this regard, but a rehabilitative one. That's why ours is a correctional services, not a punishment services, you know, because by, you know, in life sentences and all those things, it's never going to solve the problem. What is the long term? But perhaps as an immediate intervention, we can make our policing more effective. Crime intelligence, as we were speaking about it in our meeting earlier on, in this country is completely useless. How are they intervening in stopping some of these things? Why did it take that long for that girl to be found when there was an intervention from private investigators? Where was our police? Where was our crime intelligence to, you know, to speedily, you know, get to this girl, you know? So there are certain interventions that, you see, this thing is multifaceted in that there are certain interventions that we can do as an immediate intervention, given that this crisis has reached a crisis level. But in the long term, because just arresting people, having special courts now, it's never going to address the long-term problem. But then what is our long-term strategy to make sure that there's change of behaviors, there's change of cultures, there's a long-term strategy on how we must deal about these issues? As Apio is saying, on rape issues, rape, it's one of those that I don't think is understandable, you know, at all. I think that is a personal thing from, person to person. That just has to stop. But the bigger picture of gender-based violence is much bigger than just people beating up people. It's a societal problem. It's a cultural problem. And it has to change. But it will change only if we get to develop a national strategy and we're all on the same page.
Juanita, do you agree? Or do you think that more has to be done in other ways?
I don't have the solutions. I don't think I should be expected to have any thoughts or solutions, because we are the victims of this. But I also feel like, you know, there's small things that can change. The turnaround time of people getting arrested, victims not being blamed and shamed, victims not being, you know, being doubted, victims treated with the dignity they deserve. It's not going to solve the problem. It's not, but that's one step men can do, to say, just believe a woman when she says she's been raped, that she was raped. Just start there. Believe a woman. No woman is going to come out and say, I've been raped, when they've not been raped. And you can bring me an isolated incident and I don't care. But the reality of the situation is, believe a woman, make a woman feel safe. That's all we can do. Because we can't physically stop men from raping. But what we can do is, those that are not raping, they can at least be part of the solution in A, getting justice, but B, making sure that women are empowered to speak out. Because the reality of it, the figures that you've read out, is not the picture. Every single person, a woman that I knows a woman or is a woman who was sexually harassed, sexually abused, sexually, humiliated, and yet their cases were never reported on. And the reality of it is that when you have such discussions about, you know, it's society's problem and, you know, whatever, yes, those conversations can happen, but the reality of it is, it disempowers women from coming out and standing up. Leanne Jenkel, what is her name?
Jenkel.
She had a restraining order. She did what she was supposed to do. She was in an abusive relationship. She took out a restraining order. She was a boxer. She was physically able to, you understand? She literally ticked all the boxes of what women are told what to do and what not to do. And yet still, the person that she once loved killed her. And the reality of it is that you can say it's a societal problem, but nobody who is thinking about raping has any deterrent in their head, and that's the sad thing.
Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for this week. We're going to leave it there, and hopefully we can talk about this again at a later stage. This is not the end of the conversation. There's so much more we need to talk about when it comes to this. But join us again next week, and hopefully we'll have some better news for you guys next week. Take care.